Welcome to the Niche Podcast, your weekly 5-minute rundown of the biotech, clinical research, and applied science industries. I'm your host, Dr. Noah Goodson. This week, we review a few of the big winners from Operation Warp Speed. Merck continues to be quietly successful, and a new CAR-T treatment, Tecartus, gets FDA approval. Scotty, or the federal government's equivalent, finally engaged the hyperdrive on Operation Warp Speed this week. Initiated earlier this year, the effort by the federal government to accelerate the development of a COVID-19 vaccine by the end of 2020 has made a number of collaborations, but more were finalized this week. Let's review what's happened so far. March 30th, $456 million were put into Johnson & Johnson to move towards a Phase 1 trial. April 16th, Moderna got its first $483 million, and on May 21st, AstraZeneca got $1.2 billion. In July, the numbers have picked up, with Novavax getting $1.6 billion deal. Last Saturday, Pfizer and their partner, BioNTech, locked down a $2 billion deal for 100 million vaccines. Moderna got another $472 million in the middle of the week, and finally, on Friday, a partnership between Sanofi and GSK signed a $2.1 billion deal with the U.S. And these are just the agreements with the U.S. Other arrangements with Japan and U.K. were announced this week as well. What does this all mean for the industry? We can expect Pfizer and GSK to try and win major international market shares, but it's not obvious at this time that their candidates will prove safe and effective in the larger population. The nod from the federal government to long-standing players suggests companies like Moderna, with their newer technology pipelines, may have an even greater challenge in developing a sustainable company out of this pandemic, unless they win. Each of these companies face three big challenges. Number one, be the first to market. Number two, have the best product. And number three, create a supply chain that will meet the demand. Best case, you get all three, but I think most would settle for doing two really well and the other one good enough. This diversified funding also signals that the federal government is making the same bets as the stock market. Taking an educated guess, creating a diverse portfolio, and hoping they win on average. Let's just hope with all this investment and going warp speed, we can land this U.S. enterprise at the end. The Niche is brought to you today by the Scope Method LLC. The Scope Method helps companies develop clear vision and strategic processes. Whether you need fresh eyes on your data, independent risk assessment, or are pivoting into a new therapeutic space, the Scope Method will help you focus close to re-examine what you know and look ahead to where you want to go. Find out more at thescopemethod.com. Merck has been relatively quiet as a company through the COVID-19 hustle and bustle. They've pushed some vaccine collaborations through IAVA, purchased collaboration rights on an antiviral treatment from Ridgeback Bio, and secured a measles-based vaccine pipeline through the acquisition of Themis. On the surface, this gets them preclinical COVID-19 vaccines and their foot in the door for a drug treatment. However, I think it's more likely they're eyeing the acquisition of Themis and their measles-based pipeline for other long-term uses. They may see it as supplemental to their animal and human vaccines portfolio, or as a mechanism to develop oncology therapies, or both. My guess is it really weighs heavily towards oncology. In general, Merck's Q2 earnings report seems to underemphasize COVID-19 related efforts, with some tame language about being conscious of our abiding responsibility to help advance vaccine and antiviral efforts. This doing the socially responsible thing seems to contrast with the rest of the report, where the money's not coming from COVID-19, but from their core oncology treatment, Keytruda. Global sales of this keystone drug rose 29% to $3.4 billion in Q2. Despite a decrease in sales of almost every other major pharmaceutical, Merck has increased their revenue estimates by 2.4% and their earnings per share by more than 10% for 2020. Merck seems to be comfortable playing the long game. Yes, they have their eye on the COVID-19 market, but they seem more interested in fueling their pipeline and enjoying the profits of Keytruda. In 2017, Gilead inked an $11.9 billion deal to acquire Kite Pharma. At the time, Yescarta was the only clear CAR T-cell therapy Kite had, and while their product has done well, its sales were south of $500 million in 2019. This is no chump change, but 20 plus years to clear a profit is indeed a long-term investment. However, the FDA approved a new therapy from Kite this week. Tecartus is a CAR T-cell therapy for the treatment of patients with relapsed or refractory mantle cell lymphoma. This form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma carries pretty significant risks, and while there are a suite of potential chemotherapy treatments available, this is the first CAR T-cell therapy. The clinical trial leading to FDA approval yielded a remarkable response rate of nearly 90%, with 62% of patients achieving a complete response to treatment. Tecartus is not without risk and includes a specific mitigation program to train healthcare providers prior to providing the care. Despite the challenges present in CAR T-cell therapy, a one-time infusion for the treatment of a refractory and deadly cancer is a step in the right direction. The price tag of $373,000 per dose suggests the Kite investment may indeed prove worthwhile for Gilead. Thanks for joining me on the Niche Podcast, your weekly 5-minute summary of top news in the biotech, clinical trials, and applied science industries. You can find us on your favorite podcast app. Like, comment, subscribe, and most of all, share with your friends in the industry. If you like what you hear, please rate and review. It really helps us. Once again, I'm Dr. Noah Goodson, and I'll see you next week.